Invite my brother Martin Hulbert, one of the elders here at Ivy Bridge, to come up and to lead us in the act of induction and ordination. Thank you, Martin.
We gladly affirm that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is the head of the church. We meet together in his name, and in accordance with the practice of the Christian Church from New Testament times, to set apart our brother John Williams for Christian ministry and as pastor of this church. He is being ordained to teach and preach the Word of God, the Bible, to administer the ordinances of the church, namely believers' baptism and the Lord's Supper, and to be a pastor who cares for people and to do the work of an evangelist. We're going to hear from God's word for our instruction and our encouragement, and I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm beginning at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. We are formally setting John apart for Christian ministry, knowing that over a significant period of time, he has shown his God-given calling through many opportunities of ministry and of service. And I invite John to come and stand with me at this point in the service. My brother, in the presence of God and before this congregation, it is necessary that you should answer in sincerity of heart the questions I now ask of you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called of God to Christian ministry?
I do.
It is our belief that a call to Christian ministry and to particular service within it is both of God and the church. Inward constraint and outward calling answering each other. As we're about to induct John to be pastor of Ivy Bridge Baptist Church, once again this step is being taken with much confirmation. In the autumn of last year, John began his ministry with us as he commuted from Gloucester to Ivy Bridge for long weekends of ministry. During this time, he has faithfully ministered the Word of God, been involved in pastoral care and gospel witness here in Ivy Bridge. It is against this background of working together as pastor and people that I ask these questions. John, do you believe in your heart that you are truly called of God to the pastoral oversight of this church and congregation?
I do.
Do you promise to fulfill your calling with diligence as pastor, teacher, overseeing the spiritual health and direction of the life of this church?
I will endeavour so to do, the Lord being my helper.
As I speak to the congregation, I speak firstly to those who are members here at Ivybridge. Do you, as the members of this fellowship, acknowledge and receive John Williams as your pastor, promising him your prayerful and your practical support in the Lord? If this is your intention, will you please indicate by standing? I now address the remaining part of the congregation, and firstly to say how pleased and how encouraged we are that you're sharing with us in this service. Amongst that number are those who worship with us regularly. There are those who have served within this church over past times, and there are those who are just being introduced to us. But we value your fellowship, we ask for your prayers, and we thank you for standing together with us in the work of the gospel. And we invite you to stand with us at this point in the service. Will you please stand? As the congregation remains standing, we're going to set John apart through the laying on of hands. And so I'm going to invite four brethren to come forward. Andrew Holland, representing Ivybridge Baptist Church. Alan Campbell, representing the wider Christian Fellowship. Mel Cole, who has been a long-standing friend and colleague in gospel work with John. And Pastor James Bradford of Grace Church, Quedgeley, to share together in this ministry of laying on of hands. So as we stand, they are now going to lay hands on John, and they're going to pray for him.
Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this moment. We thank you for this man, our brother John. We thank you for his coming among us. We ask, Lord, that you would bless him, fill him with all grace, help him by your Holy Spirit as he embarks upon this ministry and leads this church forward. You be his sole help and strength in all of this, making yourself known to him, we pray, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. And we know that when he rose from the dead, he also gave gifts to the church. Thank you for this office of elder, pastor, shepherd, teacher. And we pray, God, that you would bless John and his family as they settle here in this church. And please bless this church through his ministry here as well. God, we thank you for this honor to be here today. In this experience, as brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, and we pray this in his name.
Amen.
Loving Holy God, Heavenly Father, Almighty Creator of all the universe, we have come today to give glory to your name. Father, we give you thanks for all the reasons we're there. We thank you for your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have entrusted to us, your humble servants, the message of salvation that we are to make known everywhere. We thank you for this day in that both you and your flock here at Ivy Baptist Church have made it clear that John and Joanna are to humbly serve you here in the pastoral. We ask that you would bless in all aspects this appointment.
Yes.
We ask that you would bless both John and Joanna and this fellowship as they get to know each other spiritually and as a people saved by grace. We ask that you will continue to strengthen John and Joanna's relationship, both with each other and with you, our Lord and Saviour. We ask that you would unite with bonds of love and a common cause of William's family and this fellowship for the ever-deepening relationship with you, our God, through your Son, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and for the spreading of the good news for the saving gospel in this community. We pray that you would protect Christian marriages everywhere. And as John, Joanna, Chloe, Henry, Freddie and Penelope settle into their new home, a new church family, we ask that you would give comfort and strength in this transition. And as Joanna makes a new home here in a new place and continues to educate the children at home, we ask that you would give strength for this undertaking as the children grow and needs change. It is our prayer, Father, that you would save each of these children of theirs while they are young, and that they would appreciate the parenting, teaching and pastoring of their parents and this fellowship. Father, thank you once again for this time together, gathered in your name, and ask that you will bless the memory of this day and the coming days, years, until our Lord comes to take us to be with himself. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, you said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we thank you, Lord, for your love for us and for your church. Thank you for Ivy Bridge Baptist Church. Thank you that today we stand here, but behind us is a great history of men and women who have worshipped you and loved you and served you in this place. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for John. We thank you that you've called him to be your under-shepherd here at Ivy Bridge Baptist Church. And we pray today that you would fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit. You would equip him with the gifting that he needs to play his part in leading this congregation. Lord, help him to keep your word foremost. Bless him as a preacher of your word. Help him to handle it correctly and to teach it clearly and boldly and courageously. And as he does so, we pray that those who are here would be attentive to your word. Just as in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra, that they would call John, please preach faithfully from your word to us, because we want to hear it. We want to receive it, and we want to obey it. May you bless him and equip him. May he also commit to praying for this church. And may you give him that ability to pray faithfully for each one. And Lord, may you please give him a love for the people of this church and this community that comes from you, that can only be through your Holy Spirit, that love that is of the Lord Jesus for this church and this family. Fill him and Joanna with that same love for this church, and fill this church, Lord, with that same love for John and Joanna. So we thank you, Father, that what we do here in laying hands on John is something that's been done since the church first began. As Paul and Barnabas were set apart and sent off, are filled with the Holy Spirit, so we do the same with John today. We lay our hands and we ask you to fill him with your Spirit and make him fruitful in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. John, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare you to be duly ordained to Christian ministry and inducted as pastor of Ivy Bridge Baptist Church. I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you to the elders for inviting Ruth and I to come and share in this joyous occasion. It truly is a privilege to be here and to join in as you welcome John as your new pastor. I'm going to read from God's word from Hebrews chapter 13, and verses 7 to 17. So that's Hebrews 13, beginning at verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
Alan Campbell
has been a long-standing friend of John for many years and a great influence upon his life. He's also the pastor of the Blurton Baptist Church in Stoke-on-Trent. Welcome, brother.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here this afternoon, and warm greetings from Blurton Baptist Church in Stoke-on-Trent. I've been a pastor for about 15 years now in ministry. I had a full head of hair before that, so I don't know a correlation or cause going on there. But being a pastor is hard work. But it's a privilege and it's a real joy. I love being a pastor. But every time I think about what it means to be a pastor, I never think about sitting in my office studying, although that's important. I don't even think about this stuff, preaching in front of people, which is very important. But I think about the times with people, weeping with people and laughing with people and spending time. Because pastoring, in other words, being a shepherd, implies that you have people that you pastor, people that you care for and love. And so it's a joy and a privilege to be a pastor. And I'd like to take us to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 this afternoon to encourage John and some of the elements of what pastoral ministry is, but also to encourage the brothers and sisters of Ivy Bridge and wherever you are as you go back to your church thinking this is how to be a member of a church or this is what it looks like to be a pastor. So Hebrews 13 verse 17, we'll read that. We'll take some time looking at the congregational responsibilities, pastoral responsibilities, back to the congregation, and hopefully it'll be a good time in God's word together this afternoon. So Hebrews 13, 17, it might be up on the screen, but it's in your Bibles, I know that. It says, obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, this is a really unpopular verse, really unpopular words in this verse. As you can, we're 21st century people, and we're reading something about obeying and being submissive and all this stuff, and you're thinking, that's not for me. Ruling over me? This is really hard stuff. But as it was read this morning, all scripture is given by inspiration. It's all from God. It's all profitable. And that includes this verse, written by an apostle inspired by the Holy Spirit for us to be reading today, 2,000 years later. So let's look at some of the congregational responsibilities that Ivy Bridge has towards John as he begins his ministry here. And here's the first unpopular word, the word obey. So obey. And the word obey, who likes that word obey? Maybe the people that are telling people to obey. That's like, I like that word. But the ones who are being told to obey, that's not a great word, right? But beautiful, it's a beautiful word, because the word actually means to trust or to entrust yourself to the care of somebody. So when you trust the Lord, then you obey him. What's the old hymn say? Trust and disobey, right? Trust and rebel. Trust and obey. So it's trusting him. I know his will is best. I know what his word is true and beautiful and good. And I know his will, according to Romans 12, is good and acceptable and perfect. So I will obey. Now, John's nothing like that. His will isn't good and acceptable and perfect all the time. But the word of God is telling you to entrust yourself to the care of your pastor and to your leadership here as an assembly. So obey them. We'll go to some verses in scripture about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13 is the first one. It might be up on your screens too. I was told to give some nervous ticks now and then to indicate. So we have obey, and then the next one over will be 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 to verse 13. It says this: "We urge you, brethren, brothers and sisters of Ivy Bridge, to recognize those who labor among you," in other words, those who are shepherding, "and are over you in the Lord." So that's this idea of authority. "And those who admonish you." And then it says this: "And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." And then a little, "and be at peace among yourselves," because that's hard work, right? So we have these verses: acknowledge them, which means to appreciate and to respect, and then hold them in the highest regard in love. So I know it's hard, but that's what you got to do with John, right? You got to hold him in the highest regard in love as your pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17 says, "Let the elders," or pastors, "let the elder pastors who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine." So you're being called as Ivy Bridge this afternoon to obey, to entrust yourself to the care of your pastor and your leadership. Then we have this second unpopular word that appears in Hebrews 13:17, and it's the word rule. So obey those who rule. And the word rule, as you can see here, it means to govern, to lead, to preside, and to go before. And when we have bad rulers, of course, it's an awful word. We don't want evil rulers or corrupt rulers. But when we have rulers that we can trust, then it's a really good word for us. So we have some scriptures for that as well. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3. And this is towards John, but this is, we're going to entrust ourselves to those who rule well. And 1 Peter 5 verse 3 says this: "Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." So there's a sense in which John is governing and presiding over with the leadership, but he's not the boss. He's not the dictator, John. He's going to not be the Lord of the church, because Christ is the Lord of the church, but he's going to direct the church and guide the church with the Lord and with the leadership. And he's going to do that, it says in this verse, as an example to the flock. So follow me as I follow Christ, as the Apostle Paul said. Then we have 2 Corinthians. This is one of my favorite verses about being a pastor. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians, I think that's the wrong verse, actually. No, it's not. It's good. We got it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse, is it maybe? Maybe, yeah, I think it is the wrong verse, but it's actually right on the screen, so it's okay. "Not that we have dominion over your faith," So not lording it over. We don't have dominion over your faith. But look at this. This is Paul the Apostle with divine authority right into the Corinthians. And he says, my responsibility is this, to be a fellow worker for your joy. So John is saying, well, what we're saying this morning is, as John leads in such a way that leads to your joy in Jesus Christ, as he guides the church into the gospel and into the depths of the gospel, and he says, come and follow me into all this beauty and rejoicing with me. I'm a fellow worker of your joy, and he governs that. And we submit to him as the pastor in that sense. Third unpopular word in Hebrews 13:17. So obey those who rule over you. And then this word to submit comes up, and be submissive. Again, not 21st century words here that we're looking at, right? Be submissive. And it means to yield, to give way, to defer to someone, to comply, or to willingly go under or place yourself under. So this is the congregation of Ivy Baptist. This is your calling. This is your responsibility that you've taken up this afternoon, to obey John as he rules with the leadership, and then to be submissive to that, okay? Now I will get to John's bit. Everyone's been waiting. Well, what about John then? What does he get to do? So we'll get to John's bit, shall we? And the next, this is in Hebrews 13:17 as well. And this tells us that John's responsibility is to watch. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, because for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. So what John's being called to this afternoon with the leadership of the church, with the other elders, is to watch for your souls. We saw already in 2 Corinthians that he is a fellow helper of your joy. And now he's going to be watching for your souls as well. And I'd like just to spend some time looking at this idea of what it means to watch for the souls of the congregation of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And I have a few things for that today. First of all, John is being charged today to watch for the congregation and for each individual within the congregation, okay? So the congregation is the whole, but also for each individual within the congregation. And we have some passages of scripture, believe it or not, that teaches this. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Again, all the verses will be on here. You know that I have taught you publicly. So he's been teaching congregationally, and from house to house. So there's an individual relationship taking place here as well. So there's this congregational teaching publicly, and the smaller groups, the getting togethers of the house to house. For 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you. That's that individual ministry here, night and day, of the things of God. If we quote Polycarp, he's going to come up on the screen next. Polycarp is a friend of John, the disciple of John the Apostle, so it's not scripture. So we're not going to say this is the Bible, but it's good to see it, what the people who were under the Apostle John thought about being pastors. And he says this, let the presbyters, in other words, the elders, which is John and the rest of the leadership, be compassionate and merciful to all, bringing back those who wander, visiting all the sick, and not neglecting the widow, the orphan, or the poor. And then Ignatius, we see him, he's another friend of John, and he says in his letter, in the next screen over, be watchful, possessing a sleepless spirit. Speak to every man separately. You see that beautiful individual call? To every man separately. Bear the infirmities of all. Let your assembling together be frequent. So this is the public aspect. Let's get together and look at God's word together, but also seek after all by name. So this is the charge that John has today. This congregational watching, but also this individual watching as well. Second of all, inside this idea of watching, we see that part of how he watches is to proclaim God's word, but also to live out God's word as well. So he wants to be proclaiming and living. So it's not enough. We can't call ourselves pastors if all we do is come up here on a Sunday morning and preach, okay? That's not a pastor, that's a preacher. But he's not being called to be a preacher, is he? He's being called to be a pastor. And part of pastoring is preaching, but it entails more as well. So let's look at some scripture. We're still in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. 24 and 27 says this, I have declared to the Jews and to the Greeks to turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. The task the Lord Jesus has given me to testify, to proclaim the good news of God's grace. And then he says, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. So there's this big responsibility to be proclaiming God's word, to be preaching it, to be testifying and declaring the truths of Scripture. But there's also this calling, this watchfulness in living out the things of God as well. And we see that in the next slide over, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. And then also a little bit from Hebrews 13:7, which I believe Ian read. And everything I did, I showed you. So I didn't just preach it from the pulpit. I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. And then it says in Hebrews 13:7, remember the previous leaders who spoke the word of God to you. And then look what it says. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So there's a living out in such a way that's seen by the congregation, not just here from the pulpit. Okay, is that okay? We all right so far? So he's going to be congregationally and individually pastoring. He's going to be proclaiming God's word and living out God's word as an example. The third thing then inside of this watching is he's going to have to watch himself and the flock. So he watches himself, he guards his own heart, and he watches the assembly, the brothers and sisters in Christ as well. That's in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to verse 31. Keep watch over yourselves. This is Paul talking to the elders. Watch yourselves and all the flock. From your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Watch yourself and watch the assembly as well. Number four, inside watching, John is charged to pray, to be praying. And we see that in a number of verses, namely in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, they'll come up here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, this verse is for the whole congregation, but if John's going to be guiding the church and leading the church, then this is his calling as well as an example. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, this is the apostle speaking. They said, we're finding ourselves very busy here, and we're almost neglecting the priority ministry of being the apostles, which is this, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So John's being called then to watch by praying for the congregation as well. And then number five, finally inside of this idea of watching, John is being, did I call you Paul 1 second there? John is being called to do the ministry, but also to equip the saints to do the ministry as well. So let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16 for that one. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And this is when Jesus rose again and led captivity captive and gave gifts. It says this, he gave some to be pastors and teachers. So John is a pastor teacher, a shepherd teacher. Now look what Jesus gave the pastor teacher for. And this is where sometimes things get a little bit confused and we have a bit of a misunderstanding about what a pastor is. And we call the pastor the minister. I don't personally call myself a minister because I believe every Christian is meant to be a minister, okay? But, you know, sometimes when you're right, you're minister of religion, whatever, you know. But biblically speaking, we're all ministers of religion, okay? Ministers of the gospel. Let's keep reading. So he gives some to be pastors and teachers to do what? To equip the saints, okay? To equip the congregation, to equip his brothers and sisters in Christ to do what? And it goes on, for the work of ministry. Now, it doesn't say that John was given to you to do the work of the ministry, although he is. What he's given to you to do is to equip the brothers and sisters to do the work of ministry. So we're all called to ministry. John's call is to do it as a brother in Christ and to equip the rest of the congregation to be doing it as well. And it says this, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so the whole body grows, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So John equipping the saints to do the ministry, which leads to the whole assembly building each other up, means you guys are safe against false things and corrupt things and broken things. And I love this little section. And every part of the body does its share. Every part does its part, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So that's John's calling, to equip the saints to do this, which is really beautiful when the whole church gets on board with a life like that. We're all in this together, doing this ministry, serving the church and serving the community. So that's watching, and that's a lot. You think through that. That's a lot. That's more than a 9-to-5, believe me. It's a lot of work involved in that. And then to add some sobriety to this whole situation, in Hebrews 13:17, the other thing we see that John has to do one day is give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ and how he does this. It says in Hebrews 13:17, obey those who rule over you, be submissive to them, for they keep watch over your souls as they that must give an account. Now, it doesn't mean that John one day has to give an account to Ivy Bridge Baptist Church, right? Here's what you did for us, and here's what you didn't do, John. It's an account to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And one day John stands before the Lord, and it's this idea of, how was your watching? How was your watching? Did you watch congregationally and individually? Did you watch through proclamation and by example? Did you watch yourself and the flock? Did you watch prayerfully? Did you watch by doing the ministry and equipping the saints to do the work of ministry? It's a very sober thing to take on this task and this vocation of being a pastor because of this, one day standing before Christ, the merciful, the gracious, the kind, but also the one who knows our hearts, who sees everything that we've done. Let's take some verses for that. Those who must give an account. James chapter 3 and verse 1. James 3 verse 1 says this, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, let not many of you become teachers, or in other words, pastors and elders and those who take on this role of guiding the church, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So we'll stand before Christ and give an account of our ministry. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, the reason for this judgment isn't so we get a slap on the wrist. 1 Peter 5, verse 4 says this, when the chief shepherd appears, those who've pastored well, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So congregation, obey as John does this and submit to him and trust yourself to him as he who watches your soul and gives an account to Christ one day for how he's done it. But we see next in verse 17, I love this little section. Hebrews 13:17 goes on, gives some more responsibility towards the congregation. We've given John quite a lot there, haven't we? So let's give something back to the congregation again. Hebrews 13:17 goes on and says this, let them do so with joy. Let John watch your soul with joy. 2 Corinthians 4, as we read there, says that he is a fellow helper of your joy. His work is to bring you joy in the gospel, to discover more of the beauty of Jesus and all that you are and all that you have in him. But your calling is to let him do that with joy, to enjoy it, to make his work a delight. So he gets up in the morning and he's not like, oh, I got to see that person today, right? Which, you know, we got those people. They're everywhere. Our little thorns in the flesh. It's all right. But you don't want to be that person. You want to be a person who John is encouraged by and delights in the ministry as a result of that. And I just picture our lives up in Stoke-on-Trent and let them do so with joy. And we've been there for about 2.5 years now. And it has been an absolute joy. And it's not been a joy because I've been finding rich truths in Scripture, although I have, but I could do that in a Bible school somewhere. And it's not been a joy because I get to preach every Sunday, which I love to do. It's been a joy because of the fellowship and the encouragement and the nurturing and the care and the love and the serving of the body as we do this together in love. And it's a joy to be here today. And I can't wait to preach tomorrow morning, but I really want to be back up in Blurton tomorrow morning. Like, I'm gutted I'm not there. Those are my brothers and sisters. And it's a joy because they make it a joy. And what a privilege to have that relationship of the pastor loves the people love the pastor. And it's just a joy. And that's how it's meant to be. This is what this verse is saying. It can't be that way. So it's a joy. And then it goes on to say, and not with grief. Not with grief. Not with groaning and sighing. That's what this word means, this word grief. It's the groaning and the sighing. You think of Moses and how often he had to sigh and he had to groan because of the misery of what was being the leader of the people of Israel. But you're being called a lot, John, to do this with joy and not with grief, not with groaning and sighing. And that implies that you'll follow the first part of verse 17. You'll do that as he does his middle bit of verse 17. But look what happens when you let him do this with joy. Look what happens when you entrust yourself to his care. You place yourself willingly under his leadership as he watches for your soul. Look what happens. It says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The word unprofitable means it would be of no advantage to you. It would be detrimental to you if your pastor pastored with misery, right? And so we flip it the other way. It's going to be extremely profitable to Ivy Bridge Baptist if John pastors the congregation and watches faithfully with joy. It'll be extremely advantageous to you. And this mutual giving and receiving of Christian love for one another, it's like a taste of heaven, right? It's a taste of glory. Victoria and I, my wife over here, we like food, okay? We eat food 3 times a day. We like it that much, right? We love food. Food is like number one on the list. Every time we go somewhere, it's like, what are the best restaurants? We've already been looking for the best place in Ivy Bridge. We've actually been in Ivy Bridge before we walked through the building. We've been here for 15 minutes, and we'd already got a Cornish pasty. We like food, all right? So we're foodies. And sometimes the best thing about food, right? Let's all salivate together here. The best thing about food is the smell before the meal, right? Did anyone appreciate the smell before the meal? And you're like, oh, this is going to be good. Yeah? This is going to be amazing. Like, I can smell it coming at me here. And what we're meant to be as a congregation, what a local church is meant to be, with the brothers and sisters loving one another, building one another up, the pastor watching the flock with joy, the flock allowing him to do it with joy, it's just meant to be that smell before the main course comes. When we're with Christ, when we're all there with him, with Jesus forever, and no more sin, that's the real thing, isn't it? That's the feast. We've just sang it. We will feast with him. That's the real thing. But what we get to be before that day comes, what we get to be, if we do it well, like Hebrews 13:17 tells us to do, if we get it right, then what we get to be is that beautiful fragrance before the main course. Does that make sense? So every experience of time here, when John pastors here in this church and he walks out of the congregational meetings, he walks out of the leadership meetings, he walks out of a cup of tea with you, and he thinks to himself, man, if this is how good it is now, what's it going to be like when Christ returns? And as you enjoy his ministry and you think, man, if he's doing this with joy, what a joy it is to see him rejoicing as he serves us. If this is how good it is now, think about what it's going to be when we see him face to face. And that cry for even so come, Lord Jesus, is a joyful cry of, God, you've given it to us so good here. Even so come and make it even better. Rather than that, oh, Lord Jesus, come. This is awful, right? So be together. John, be that. Congregation, be that for one another. That fragrance, that smell of the good stuff that's really coming together. So let me read this verse again and leave you with it then. Hebrews 13:17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Amen.
We want to bless you today for that gift of grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Such gift that has worked in and upon our lives in so many different ways, has brought us together who are strangers one to another, yet made us one in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have given your Son that many more might know this wonderful gift of salvation that you have given. And we thank you for your blessings to this fellowship. Thank you for the pastor that you have given to us. Thank you for the friends and brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have together here in this place. Thank you for John's family being here with him today and soon to be with us as a family as they make that move from Gloucester to Ivy Bridge. There are so many things for which we ought and should and do with joy give you thanks and praise. Lord, may your blessing rest upon this place. May we heed the words that we have heard and received today. May the hymns that we have sung, Lord, stir up our own hearts and minds, reminding us of our own individual responsibilities and of our responsibilities as a congregation. And may you in all things receive the glory and the blessing and be the praise of many, not just those who are gathered here now and in our usual congregation, but of many more whom you will be pleased to gather into this place. For we ask it in Jesus Christ. Amen.